Welcome to episode 5 of Under the Radar with Travis McLeod. Tonight is part 2 of my interview with AJ Marchetta, who is the former guitarist of Groovenix and Suicide City, and currently playing with Skeleton Division. Tonight I'm going to finish up the interview and play some tracks from Suicide City, Groovenix, Skeleton Division, and even one of AJ's solo tracks. When we left off last week, we were discussing the rise and fall of Suicide City, so we're going to start there this week. So, let's get into it now.
By the time we signed that record label, we had a manager at the time that did some dirty. He had other agendas.
Right.
He wound up becoming Biohazard's manager.
Yeah.
And at the time, Billy wasn't doing Biohazard. Billy currently is doing Biohazard.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, I'm not going to talk shit, but I'm sure you guys can piece together what exactly happened there. Yeah. And, that's really hard when you go into your first record deal and your manager is telling you that Billy's not going to be able to tour with you because he's got obligations to fulfill with Biohazard. And you're like, what?
Yeah.
And, I love Billy and I'll always, care for that guy. You know, he's my brother. And, we've talked since then and the whole band has kind of talked. There's a few people who aren't talking currently, but that was a real hard time for us when our record came out and, we were going to go tour on it. And there's one member who says he's not going to be able to tour on it.
Yeah.
And, it's real hard. And Billy was the leader of that band, man. Every band is a family, and every family has that father figure who's he leads the band, or leads the family. He's the one that makes the ultimate decisions, the band's a democracy, just like families are a democracy. But in the end, you follow the person who has the most experience, in this case, it was Billy. And for him to not be around for that crucial period in our career, the band took it really hard, and we ended up having a discussion, and it got really heated. And some things were said that were really mean and below the belt. It's just all that drama and bullshit that comes out from being that close with people. When you get too close with people, you take I think more liberties than you would if you were just friends with somebody. You would never attack somebody in certain ways, if you weren't really close with them. But anyway, the point is that he got kicked out. It was kind of a mutual decision. I was the one who called up, Billy. I had me and the drummer had a meeting with Billy and the manager. And we were we basically told him, listen, man, it's really dysfunctional. It's really unhealthy. And we want to continue on, without you, because we don't think it's fair to keep this situation up. It's too dysfunctional.
Yeah.
And everybody agreed. And, Billy always said that he respected us for at least telling him that and being, the ones that came to the plate and said it.
Right.
But, so Suicide City after Billy, we went on for a couple years, and we never toured after that, but we played some really big shows in New York.
Yeah, you played in New York City, right?
A lot. Yeah. And we kept it going for a little bit, but eventually we had a conference call, and the band we kind of all agreed that everything was kind of on its downturn. And
right.
And we kind of put it on hold, put it on hiatus. Carl wanted to go, do, college. I think he wanted to be a graphic designer. And, there's a whole nother story with Carl. Carl went through some really hard times. His long time love. During the course of Suicide City, she OD'd and died, which was a really hard thing for him. And I don't think he ever really he really got over that, and that was it was really hard. I think for him to handle that, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think Suicide City was always a constant reminder, because like if he wasn't doing Suicide City, he probably would have been with her. And
yeah,
you know, I don't know, but I know that I don't have any ill will towards him. In fact, yeah, like, you know, the exact opposite. I love all those guys, and I've told them that. I've talked to each one of them.
Yeah.
And I know that there's, you know, still love between everybody, but you know, it's weird, man. Bands are a weird thing. It's like a girlfriend, you know. It's like you can fall in love with a girl, I think, and you know, be with them for years and years and years, and then like you break up. And then sometimes you can still be friends, sometimes you can't. It all depends.
Right.
That's kind of where we're at right now. It's like a weird ex-girlfriend, you know, that you were in a long-term relationship with for 10 years, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, do you guys still talk, or is there any kind of hope for a reunion down the road, or is it just kind of...
You know, me and Danny talk about it every now and again, the drummer, and we kind of, it's more of like a fantasy thing. I don't know if it really happened. Basically, here's the situation. Billy's doing Biohazard, which is fine, you know, but he has no real reason to stop doing that to come do Suicide City. There's really not. I mean, we never broke big enough to it. At least I don't think so to do anything substantial again. But who knows? Danny is playing in Sworn Enemy.
Okay.
With if you guys don't know what Sworn Enemy is, a really cool hardcore band. And Jeff, our guitar tech, is actually playing guitar for them. They asked me to do the band, and I really, after Suicide City, I would just, the last thing I really wanted to do is to jump back in the van and, like,
right,
you know, there's a long story with that. But anyway, the point is they're doing Sworn Enemy, and Billy's doing Biohazard. Jen, she was on that reality TV show, Big Brother, you know, that's like on ABC or whatever.
Yeah.
But she did really well on that, so I guess she's like a reality TV star / musician, because she's also doing this like band called Gen City.
Yeah, that's her kind of her online name, right?
Yeah. She's a, she's doing that. She's rocking out, and Danny actually plays drums with her every now and again. He'll go out, play some shows.
Is she like DJ or something?
She's also a DJ Gen City.
Okay.
And Carl, you know, Carl became, he's, as far as I know, he's a graphic designer.
Okay.
And he's basically, he works at a bar, and, you know, he still does music. He and I actually, we did some stuff recently. Carl's always been really into, like, electronica music, like Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, like, you know, weird off the chain stuff. And he sent me things, and he's like, you want to lay guitar? And I did. The group is called Earth versus Earth. Yeah. And anyway, it's, you know, it's pretty cool. It's very Carl, you know. It's not like radio friendly or anything, but it's very cool. It's very electronica. And, it sounds like Mr. Bungle meets like, I don't know, man. It's like a dark gothic Mr. Bungle.
Yeah. Is there anywhere, is it online anywhere that you can hear it, or do you guys do it for fun? Or like...
You know what? I think he is trying to release it. I don't know how he's going to release it, but I think he is going to release it. I'm sure he will eventually. If not, I'll send you some tracks, and maybe you can release it.
And send me some tracks he did. So, first off, let's go into some Suicide City. This song is called Give Me Your Pity, off of their independent EP Not My Year. And this is the first one of the Suicide City tracks I'm going to play, so here it is.
Yeah.
All right, this next track is from the record that they made on the End Records that we were talking about, and it's called She Waits, and this is off of Frenzy, and hopefully you'll like this one too. Here it goes. You guys both live back in Florida now, right?
No, he still lives in Brooklyn.
Oh, okay.
He's never coming back to Florida, dude.
Oh, he hates
Florida. I'm sorry, but he does. Like, he has nothing but contempt for this place.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame him necessarily, man. Florida has a lot of, like, things that are not very fun,
right,
comparatively to a place like Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Brooklyn's just more his speed. It's his style. Like, when he moved to Brooklyn, he knew he was never coming back. Me, on the other hand, when I was up in New York, I met my fiance Amanda, and
yeah,
she she lives in upstate New York.
Uh-huh.
And we were living in Brooklyn for a while, and then we moved to Long Island, and we were living there, And it kind of became like, it got to the point where it was like, all right, we're either going to move upstate New York or down to Florida. And like, I had been in New York like for 10 years and I just like, I don't know, man, I kind of just had my fill, and I wasn't about to live in upstate New York. Like whenever we would visit there, you know, I didn't like it, you know. It was fun, it was beautiful, but I don't think I would have been very happy up there. Yeah. So we came to Florida. Here we are.
Are you living down in West Palm again, or?
Yeah, I'm living in Lake Worth right now. Okay. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah. You know, for the most part, just saving up as much money as we can, trying to buy a house in this crazy market.
Yeah. You know? Well, especially down there, everybody's like, "Oh, I live in South Florida, so this costs $8 million or something."
Yeah.
Or at least maybe not anymore because the housing market's all wacky, but.
Yeah, it's a little bit wacky. But, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah. So are you, you're in a band called Skeleton Division with Dane, right? Are you at some point, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, like, basically, you know, music is, you know, I'm never going to stop playing music, you know what I mean? But, yeah, I mean, we were doing it for a while. It was kind of weird. Basically, the way the whole thing, like, came about is, like, this dude was, like, you know, playing drums, and he had a guitar player and whatever, and they needed a vocalist, and they didn't need a guitar player. They didn't want a guitar player. Yeah. And, like, that's the one thing that sucks about Florida is it's really hard to find good musicians.
Yeah.
And, like, I mean that in the most respectful and, I guess, like, way that I can. But it's just a sheer numbers game. You know what I mean? Like, in New York, there's, you know, so many people. And of those people, there's, you know, just a larger pool of musicians. And of that pool of musicians, there's a much larger ratio of musicians who are really talented at their craft.
Right.
And in Florida, there's not a lot of people compared to New York. And then of those people, there's not a large pool of musicians. And then of that that pool of musicians, there's not a lot of talent.
Yeah.
So like finding good musicians is really hard. Like I tried playing with a few different like people, and it just didn't work out, you know. Right. And then anyway, so this guy said, he's like, "Oh, I got a vocalist position." And I was like, I said, "I'm a guitar player." I was like, "I can try to sing some tracks." And he's like, "Yeah, well, we need a vocalist, so try to do it." And I was like, "All right." So I did a couple of things, and like, you know, I suck at singing. Like, that's terrible. I never sung in my life until I recorded, which is never the way you want to go. It's like,
yeah.
Well, I've never played guitar before, but the first thing I'm going to do is record a record.
It's
you know what I
mean? Show, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, the first thing I'm going to do is play a show.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, but it was fun. It was different. It was like, it wasn't anything that I had done before, so it kept me interested.
Yeah.
And, you know, we cut a few tracks, and one of the tracks was, like, good enough to want to start a band. And we did. And that guitar player, you know, he was one of those guys who just, like, wanted to re-record the same song over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And, like, I was like, dude, I'm not doing this anymore. you know, I'll tell you what, why don't I play guitar and you come start a band with me, to the drummer?
Yeah.
And the drummer was like, all right, let's do this. And so he kicked that guitar player out, and that's what became Skeleton Division. I got Bobby Parker, who was Routine Scheme, and I'm sure you remember him from that.
Yeah, how's he doing, man? I haven't talked to him in probably as long as I've talked to him.
He's good, man. He hasn't changed much.
Yeah.
He's pretty much the same guy.
I love you Bobby.
he's like that equation where, you know, you have a constant, the never changing. He is the same Bobby Parker that he was 15 years ago, and yeah. I'm sure he'll be the same Bobby Parker 15 years from now. But he's awesome. He's a really good friend. I was actually living with him for a while. He was a roommate.
But
so we did Skeleton Division. We recorded a bunch of songs. I released stuff online for free. I never did like an iTunes thing. It was never meant to be anything more than what it was, man. I create music, and I don't really create music for anybody but myself.
Right.
That being said, I put it up online for free for anyone who wants to listen. You can't really download it, but you can listen if you want. It's on our Facebook site, which I'm sure you can find just by typing it in, Skeleton Division, if you want to hear it. Yeah. But
or you can listen to it right here, right now. Here's Skeleton Division with Pyramid.
Yeah, I mean, it was fun, but I didn't take it too serious, and I think that became a problem for like the band. Is that like I really my heart wasn't in it, you know? And it was kind of like my band. Like I was writing the songs, and you know, I was doing the recording and writing the lyrics and doing it, everything. And it was kind of like my baby, but I didn't give a shit about my baby. So it was like that was the problem with it. But after like. You know, it's hard to explain, man. After doing like a serious band for such a long time and having you know, a good amount of success for what it was.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't take the music world as serious as I did. Like when I play music now, it's for nobody but myself. It's because it's who I am, and inside my heart, you know, there's music, and I'm going to play forever, but I'm not going to go out there again and try to make money off of it. You know what I mean? I feel like that's kind of, it soils what it's all about.
The art, yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I'm sure you probably are more of a kindred spirit when it comes to that, because I'm sure you don't go and re-record your records and think like, oh, I'm going to go out and get a platinum record off of this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like that's not the point. The point isn't to sell records. The point isn't to make money. The point is to make music, to do it because it's what you love to do.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I kind of have the same outlook. I mean, I obviously arrived at it in a different way because I never had any kind of success on the same sort of scale that you did. But I'm sort of this, like, I, even if I wanted to, like, at this point in my life, it's not like I could really go tour anyway, you know, I mean, I got a wife and a kid, and, but I'm kind of doing the same thing, where it's just like, I'm, you know, I know I'll never stop playing music, I'm just gonna write it, I'm gonna write what I want to write for me, and put it out there, and hopefully people like it, and, you know, but if they don't, then tough, it's not for you, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's as simple as that, dude. It's not about, like, making anybody happy other than making yourself happy, yeah. You know?
It's kind of how you get into it in the first place. You're just like, I want to play this guitar or whatever because it's fun to do.
It is.
Know?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. You're right. And, you know, I learn more about now. I mean, I learn more when I play, like, music now than I ever did when I was in Suicide City, because, like, you write songs differently. When you're writing a song with the intent of other people listening to it and judging it, and, you know, you write things differently, you format things differently, you care about song structure and, like, chord progressions and things being certain ways, and,
right.
And you know, now there's no rules, there's no, like, stipulations. Like, if I want to write a punk rock song, I'll write a punk rock song, and if I want to write a country tune with, like, you know, some weird off kiltered, you know, septuple time midsection, it doesn't matter, because yeah. Nobody's gonna hear it but me. It's not pleasing anybody but myself, and that gives you that freedom to be whatever you want to be and to write whatever you want to write, and it's more fulfilling that way.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, you know, I really just never thought, I don't think I would ever be in the position that I'm in right now, like, you know, writing songs, singing songs, and being just happy with music and not caring that I'm not successful.
Yeah.
Because if I could go back to my 17-year-old self, you know, who, you know, is about to move out to Brooklyn, New York, and start a career in music of all things, like,
yeah.
I don't even know what I would say to that person. I don't think I would say a thing. I wouldn't change a goddamn thing. I would keep everything the same.
Yeah, you know? I think it was, you know, I remember around the time when that kind of started happening, because I remember we had our little band that we sort of did. We never played any shows or anything, you know, and then I remember one day Joe Onimus told me, he's like, oh, hey, did you hear AJ's in the Groovniks now? And I was like, oh, no way, that's awesome, you know. And then I think one night I actually went with you to practice at the warehouse you guys had, and
oh yeah, I remember that.
I remember just thinking, like, I think it was earlier that same day, like, I saw you at the mall, and we were talking, and you were like, yeah, you should come out tonight. I was like, all right. And then I just remember thinking, like, man, that guy has, like, everything I want in my life. He's driving a Mustang, he's in the Groovniks, he's awesome. Like,
oh, the Mustang, yeah, that was funny, man. So the story behind that is actually pretty funny. My dad, like, you know, I did well in school. We all did. We were all pretty smart kids. Like, our group of friends, we were like punk rockers. You know what I mean? Like, Bobby had, like, you know, a mohawk that was dyed pink.
Yeah.
But we were smart kids. Like, we were on the chess club. You know what I mean? Right. And yeah, so I had really good grades, and I got a scholarship to go to college.
Yeah.
And it was all paid for and whatever, and like and this is when I was doing music really hardcore and I really wanted to follow it.
Yeah.
And dad, like, he knew, like, I was gonna go do music, and he wanted me so bad to get my college education.
Yeah.
He bought me a Mustang, a car, as like a bribe, and literally what he told me. He goes, if you go to college, this is yours. And if you go do music, then it's not. Yeah. But it, I mean, I was like, all right, keep the car, and I dipped out. I went to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
That's basically exactly what happened.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember going to that practice, and I just thought that was really awesome, because the whole time, you know, I mean, like you said, the Groovniks were huge in that area, and just, you know, in Florida in general. And then, I think at the time, you know, they had their Spitfire deal, and I just remember thinking, like, wow, like, I'm hanging out with the Groovniks. Like,
yeah. That's funny.
I'm still a little nervous now and don't know what to say, so let's all hang out with the Groovniks and listen to their song Psychology. Here it is. I was just kind of sitting there not saying anything, because I'm like, I don't even know, like, what I'm supposed to say to these people. They're probably just like, what the hell is this guy doing here, you know?
Yeah, it's weird. You know, I don't even think of it like that, you know? It's funny. I went to a wedding recently, and it was a nice wedding. I'm not going to name names, but the point is that everybody from the Groovniks was there, and, like, that whole social circle.
Yeah.
And the weird thing about that is that these guys, like, the Groovniks were successful for Florida.
Yeah.
But that's it. Like, yeah. I mean, like, you go outside of Florida and nobody knows who the Groovniks are. Right. Like, even now, like, nobody knows who the Groovniks are. You know, you had to be alive during, like, that one small period of, you know, time to know who they are. Nobody bought their record. Yeah. You know, it's maybe a few people in Florida, but that's it. And,
go ahead.
I was going to say, like, they were all, like, so hung up on that, like, that time period, and they're very, a lot of them seem very bitter and, like, bitter nostalgia, and I just remember thinking, like, man, I'm glad I'm not that way, and I was like, well, wait a minute, maybe I am. Am I going to be bitter nostalgic, like, you know, looking back at Suicide City? But it's kind of a good lesson, because I was like, nope. I can't be that guy. I don't want to be that guy that's, like, complaining about things that happened 15, 20 years ago, you know?
Right. I know, like, I don't know if this sounds kind of messed up or not, but sometimes I kind of use that to comfort myself, because I'm like, you know, like, well, maybe if I would have played more shows, or I would have done this, or I wouldn't have done that, and I'm like, well, I'm just like, all right, man, well, the Groovniks were, like, the most successful band in our whole city. Like, they were on Spitfire, they had all this stuff, and... You know, I mean, if you ask somebody from around that area, like, hey, you ever heard of the Groovniks? They're probably, yeah, okay. But you just ask regular random people, like, hey, you know who the Groovniks are? They're like, no, you know? So I'm just like, well, shit, man, if they couldn't make it, like, I probably didn't have a chance anyway, you know?
But that's the, like, that's the whole thing is, like, you know, what is making it, and what does that even matter?
That's true, you know? It's kind of like, what is your definition of success, you know, like...
You know, exactly, like, my definition was, here's my goal. In life, like, this is, I kind of like, this is what I wanted. I wanted to be in a band, play guitar for a band, and have a real record. Yeah. And by real record, I mean, like, a full length record put out on a record label, and have that record be in stores where I could go into a store and look up my band name and pick out that CD and know that I made this. This is me. Right. And, like, that was it. And, like, and when that happened, and when I had it, I was kind of like, oh, well, now what?
Yeah.
You know? Like, now how do I, like, what's my goal now? And I didn't really have one. You know, and that's when I was kind of like, I don't know, maybe I'm doing this for the wrong reasons. Is my heart in the right place here?
That's kind of like they say, too. It's like, it's good to get in the stores, but then you have to worry about getting out of them, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, but whatever. It's cool. I mean, I'm right now, like, I just play with a bunch of there's a lot of musicians that I've been lucky enough to make friends with in Florida.
Yeah.
Some really good ones. And, like, every now and again, like, we'll just get together and play.
Yeah.
It's not the same band, like, every time, you know, like, you know, Bobby's a great person. The reason why I love Bobby is, like, Bobby is just down to play music, and I love people who are just down to play music. Like, we'll get into a room with a few other guys, and we're all, like, talented musicians, and, you know, like, and we play different instruments, and, you know, like, so I'll sit down, and I'll play some bass, and Bobby will play guitar and sing, and the other guy will play drums, but then we'll switch it up, and I'll go up behind the drum set, and I'll play some drums, and this guy will sing, and it's really cool to get into an environment where you're constantly shifting gears, and, like, it doesn't matter, you know what I mean? It's not structured. It's really fun, you know?
Yeah, I remember when we were playing in high school, I remember I had an idea where I was like, since we all know how to play different instruments, that'd be really cool if we had a band where nobody had a definite role and you just did whatever you wanted, you know?
Yeah. Well, but that's it, dude. Like, I love that, dude. That's awesome to me. There's a few bands who can do that. Like, I remember, like, even, what was it, even Green Day, like, back in the day, used to, like, Like, yeah. Billy Joe would get behind the drum set and, like, they would, like, mess around and do, like, different stuff. But I always thought that was cool. You're right. Like, having a band where everybody plays every instrument and you just, like, switch around. Yeah. And that's cool, you know?
It's something you don't see a lot, you know?
You don't. Yeah, you're right. It's definitely cool.
Now that sounds really fun, man. I kind of wish I lived down there. I'd love to go down there and just jam with you and Bobby sometime.
Whatever, man. Bring the wife and kids. Bring them down and you know, we'll play some music. Like, you know, at this point in my life, it's a lot of fun, and it's not a. There's a lot of pressure and stress that is completely alleviated.
Yeah.
You know, like, you don't stress about, oh my God, there's a show coming up, or we got this tour, and the record has to be out by this date and whatever. It's just, music becomes fun.
Yeah.
And something that, like, you know, I think I really forgot when I was pursuing it as a career. Because there's such a big difference between, you know, playing music because you love to play music and there's really no responsibility behind it. But when music is your job, yeah. Like, when it becomes a job, like, that's... It's a different ball game, man. And when you don't have a home, when you're living in a van and you're traveling around, and you're playing music to make money, it's
you're living in a van down by the river.
You're living in a van down by the river, yeah. And but yeah, it's a different thing. There's a lot more stress
that
comes with music. You know, when if you don't pull in X amount of dollars, hey, you're not going to eat tonight. Sorry,
yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's like a It's weird, but, you know.
That's one of those things that, like, if you do something because you have to versus because you want to.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, there's no safety net, you know. But, like I said, I wouldn't trade it for the world. And
yeah, it sounds like you got some pretty sweet stories out of it, at least, you know.
Oh, definitely. you know, and I've been in other bands other than Suicide City,
Like,
I don't know.
Dog.
If you...
Of course,
that was the name of the band that we started, Horny Dog. Wow. Yep, that was the best name ever. I did a really cool group called Shukriya,
uh-huh.
And that was it was the drummer from Taking Back Sunday, Mark, and he's an amazing drummer.
Yeah.
And the other guitar player was this guy named Alex Amarudin,
yeah.
Who's in this band called The Movie Life. I don't know if you've ever heard The Movie Life, but they're also really, they were big.
That sounds kind of familiar.
Yeah, they're like that. They were on the radio. It's like back in the whole like early 2000s, like when Finch and, you know, The Used were like coming out.
Right.
That's like that era. God, that's so old, man. I remember, like, being in the 90s, and, like, you used to think, like, oh, Guns N' Roses and Poison, they're from the 80s. That's so old. That's so, like, oh, my God, that's, like, ages ago. But then you think about it, and it's like, man, we're, like, in the year 2013, and you have, like, we've been through a few decades now of music, and it's pretty incredible when you think about it. Like, you have the early 2000 period. And then you go into the like late 90s with TRL and whatever, and then it goes into the mid 90s with Nirvana, and then you're all the way back to the, you know, early 90s, late 80s. And
I've thought about that too, like, because I remember you used to think back then, like, all the people that were sort of into 80s metal and stuff, and you're like, it's not really what's happening now, and you're like, wow, you know, like, don't they, you know, update whatever they're listening to? But I guess it's whatever you come up with is it's cemented into you. Like, I mean, like, to me, that stuff all seems like I know it's not, but it still seems current to me. Like, I'll still go to work wearing like a Limp Bizkit t-shirt, you know? They're like,
yeah,
oh, you still like Limp Bizkit? And I'm like, fuck yeah, you don't like Limp Bizkit? What the hell? They're like the biggest band in the world. And they're like,
dude, that's like, so 1998.
I'm like, well, they were. Shut up.
They were big back in. Hey.
Like, they're bigger than you. How many records did you sell? All right, then.
That's a good point. They were from Jacksonville, man. They were the shit back then. I remember when Limp Bizkit first came out. I had the record. I was like, holy crap. Before they broke really big, they were huge.
Yeah. I remember that. I didn't get into them, I think, until high school. I remember when they came out, and I think that was back probably eighth grade, maybe.
Oh God, yeah. I mean, we were young.
Yeah, and I remember like you and I think like all of the skater kids in our English class used to listen to them.
Yeah.
Do you remember that? We had DX in there.
I think so.
We used to throw stuff at Marson.
Oh, Marson, I remember. Marson was a good dude.
He was a good sport about it. I kind of felt bad. I was like, you know what it was? Right?
But that was the thing is, like, when you're a kid, like, you're an asshole to your friends, and you kind of are testing the waters to see if they're cool. Because if you're cool, you won't get mad. But if you're an asshole, you'll be like, oh, stop, man, you're a dick. Like, for instance, the first time I met Bobby Parker, like, when I went into middle school, English, I think. Yeah. Anyway, the point was, is like, I had to go to the bathroom. So I was like, teacher, I got to go to the bathroom. Yeah. And I came back and I tried to like move my pencil and my notebook and my book bag and like nothing would move. And I was like, what the hell is going on? Bobby Parker super glued all of my items to the desk.
That's awesome.
And I was like, what the hell? Like, and then he was like, hi, I'm Bobby Parker. I super glued your stuff to the desk. And I was like, all right. Well, I guess you're my friend now. But I didn't get mad. I was like, it was the funniest thing that ever happened to me. Because then, like, I went to the rest of the class, and I was like, all my other classes, I was like, I couldn't bring my book bag. It's super glued to my English desk. And they were like, what are you talking about? Anyway, it was funny.
Man, I didn't even know Bobby went to our middle school, man. I didn't meet him until... I think it was like the summer in between freshman and sophomore year.
Oh, Bobby was great, man. My claim to fame is getting Bobby Parker to listen to punk rock.
Yeah.
Because Bobby Parker is like, he's like Mr. Punk rock. He lives, breathes it. He's got a, you know, I think he has like fuck you tattooed on his chest or something. And I don't mean that like, I mean literally he tattooed that on his chest. It's there. And, he's an awesome dude, you know. I like playing with him a lot, like music. He's really fun to work with because he's really fun to play with. You see what the industry has done to me? It's called music work.
Brainwashed you, man.
Yeah, no. But he's one of those musicians who can just like play. He's not schooled, which is amazing. Like for instance, he's got this band called the Muggles, which is great. They actually just cut a record. If you don't know who the Muggles are and you live in Florida, go check them out.
Yeah.
But they're a pirate rock band, which is exactly how it sounds. They pirate music, but it's like heavy metal style. But he's not a schooled musician, so like there's no rules. He doesn't know music theory, so like he'll write stuff that goes from being in like 5/4 time to like jumping into 4/4 and then like moving into like, you know, weird like 7 time and like, so he doesn't think about music the way like a normal like school musician would be like, no, you got to have, you know, common time 4/4 and or 3/4 if you want to get a little bit wacky.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't think about it like that, and I envy that because I used to be like that before I learned music theory and like, you know, and now I wish I could go back to like not thinking that way because he writes riffs that I could never write because he doesn't think about music the same way.
Yeah, I'm kind of like that too, where I never really learned. I know a little bit, but for the most part, I just think of something in my head and then sit down with the guitar and pick it out till it sounds like as close as I can get it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way you gotta do it.
Yeah. I remember I met Bobby. We were in summer school together, and we were both just goofing off in the class. Like, I was up in front of the class doing a river dance. And then he was like, oh, that's awesome. And then we were like, what was that? What else did we do? We, like, the teacher brought in movies one day, and she was like, okay, you have a choice between Howard the Duck and something else. And we were, like, the only two people in the class that wanted to see Howard the Duck.
Yeah, that was an easy choice.
Everybody else was like, no, we're like, fuck you all, we're watching Howard the Duck. And so we got everybody behind it, and they put it on. We're like, yeah, this is the best movie ever.
It is a weird movie.
Yeah.
You know that Steve Buscemi is the voice of Howard the Duck?
Is he?
Yeah.
No shit, that's awesome. I didn't know that.
Learn something new every day.
I know Leah Thompson was pretty hot in the movie.
Leah Thompson is hot now.
I'd be like, yeah, she is still pretty hot. She's...
And I say that, and I'm like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, I hope she's not dead or something. Like, weird.
No, she's, I think she's still acting, and I don't know. I mean, I haven't really kept up with her, but she's still out there doing stuff, pretty sure.
Right on.
Man. So I remember, this is like totally way back off topic of what we were just talking about, which was also off topic, but back to when you first started getting big with Groovniks and stuff, I remember going back to being nervous to like talk to everybody and stuff. I remember when I played a show and then you and Carl came out.
Hell yeah.
And then I was like, oh shit, like they're like Carl. Like, I mean, I wasn't, you know, like no offense, but I wasn't like, oh shit, AJ's here, because like we were friends, you know.
Yeah.
But, but I was like,
about AJ, Carl's hanging out.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that's the
funny. I'd be like, I was like, oh man, I gotta hang out with Carl tonight. No.
You're like, yeah, he's here. Whatever. So then after the show, I was
his microphone in his butt. I gotta hang out with this dude. Jesus.
Yeah, is that a new thing or has he always?
I say that like he doesn't do it all the time.
I was gonna say, like, I don't.
There has been instances where he's, yeah. You know, Jesus Christ, man, to say that out loud. It's really awful. But yeah, man, I remember when we went and saw you. I was like, you gotta check out Travis, man, and we did.
I remember like he kept saying like, you know, that he liked it and. I could never really tell if he was serious or not. I was like...
No, he was serious. Like, we both were serious. Like, we wouldn't come to it. It was just... It's you, man. Like, it's just... It's people, like... I don't know. How do you say it? It's like... Like, people who are just very naturally likable. You know, like, there's a charisma, like, when you go up on stage. Because, I mean, let's face it, when any, like, musician goes up on stage, it's very hard to sound amazing. You know what I mean? Like, you either got it or you don't. You have a charisma, and it's like, you're funny and you're likable, or you're not. Because when you go up and play, it doesn't matter, like, who you are, unless you're, like, extremely talented. You know, and like even the really talented people, I think a lot of times go up and they don't sound all that amazing live. You know, everything's so loud, you can't really hear much of anything anyway. You hear like a little bit of the, you know, of the guitar. Mostly you hear drum and bass just being blasted through the PA and a little bit of vocals. Right. So it's really hard to distinguish what's going on. But we both liked you because like you would take you know, nobody was really there, like, in the audience, but you would take your guitar pick and throw it out into the audience for people to catch. Yeah. So I just thought it was funny. And then you would rock out, dude. You played, like, cool songs. And it wasn't like your average rock songs. Like, you would play, like, Justin Timberlake. Like, you would play Cry Me a River, and it was like, dude, who does that? You know what I mean? But you did it, and it's cool, man. Like, yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I wore your t-shirt.
Yeah, I remember that, because I remember, like, after the show, it was like, hey, can I get one of those shirts? And I was like, yeah, you can have whatever you want. You're in the group next. Like,
oh, Jesus.
I was like, yeah, dude, can you see
your stuff? Yeah, I dug it. I wore that shirt on tour. I still have that shirt to that day, to this day. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, there
I got it in my closet somewhere.
I think my dad has one, maybe, and...
I definitely have one.
I don't even know if he still and has one.
It's funny, but I know Carl still knows who you were. We both just like, we both liked you. We thought it was funny, like that you would, you were saying funny jokes in between sets, which we always appreciate because, like, you know, it's like you go see a band and they're like all serious and stuff. Like, you were funny. You would say funny things in between songs, so you're entertaining, and, you know, I dug it.
Yeah. I remember, like, after that show, you were like, oh, we should. I don't remember if it was you or if it was him. We were like, yeah, we should play together sometime. And I was like, did that really just happen? Like,
did we? Did we ever set up a show?
Well, yeah. I mean, I opened for you guys one time at Dada.
Oh, yeah.
Like a long time later on. I just remember, like, after that first time.
And that's cool. Like, that's all right, good. Good. Because I was afraid we were, like, dicks. And we were like, yeah, open up one time. And then we never went, like, followed through with it. Because that would be a real asshole move.
No,
but a likely move that might have happened.
I was thinking, like, wow, yeah, that's probably one of the crowning achievements of my career. I was like, I opened for the Groovniks once. Yeah.
Congratulations at Dada. One time we played a lesbian wedding at Dada, and that was like a crowning achievement for me. I thought that was really cool.
Well, it doesn't get much better than that. I mean,
here's another crowning achievement for AJ. His, I don't know if this is his first one, but the first one I've ever heard of his solo tracks. This is called Vavoom. Check it out.
I think I talked like forever. Like, I think you asked me one question during this interview and I just like went on. You were like, so tell me about the career. I was like, well, blah, 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 blah.
No, it's good though, because I mean, I can edit it later. I can go in and add my own stuff in or whatever, or chop it up.
Alright, dude, well, I'm gonna get going here. It's getting late as hell, and I gotta wake up early as fuck and go to work.
Alright, man. Well, thanks for taking the time out.
Yeah, of course. Call me anytime. Like I said, I'll hit you up on Facebook, and we'll have a proper convo.
Definitely, yeah. Just send me your number, we'll get together.
Alright, dude. I'll talk to you later, Travis.
Alright, man.
Well, that's it. That's part two of my interview with AJ. Hope you enjoyed it. I never really know how to end these things, so I think in the next couple of episodes, I'm going to try and come up with a sign-off line just to kind of close things out. So, If you have any suggestions, why don't you give me some feedback here. Anyways, that was it. Hope you enjoyed it, and we'll see you next week.